The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome, Philly, to your favorite sports show,
Song, bro.
Hosted by Jesse Town and Sam Wilson. They're smart, they're sexy, and they're all Philly. So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome into episode number 109 of Babes on Broad. I'm Sam Stafford with my co-host Jesse Taylor, and we are the Babes on Broad, brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. And Jess, the Birds moved to 5-0 after a 23-14 win out in LA last week. Should specify LA Rams because there's multiple LA teams. But I was nervous in the beginning there, Jess.
It was too, first half, you thought it was going to be a shootout. You were looking at this going, oh my God, the defense is in over their heads. What are they doing? What's going on? And the Eagles were continuing to struggle a little bit in the red zone. So you're thinking, okay, if, you know, we're going to be seeing a, you know, 48-45 final score game here, no defense whatsoever being played in this game. So going into halftime, barring that last score right before the
half, that was encouraging.
It was encouraging. It made you feel a little bit better for sure. But it was not looking like it was going to be a relaxing second half of this game.
I agree with you 100%. And that's one thing that I think is one of the best parts that we did see out of this week were those second half adjustments specifically from our defense. Because, like, as you mentioned, in the first half, it was, and that's the annoying thing about the Rams is, like, they're not a team that you look at and you're like, wow, this team is so good. But Cooper Kupp, for some reason, is just so quick, and, like, they just do the little dump passes, and he's just, like, it's almost unstoppable, it feels, to so many people. So, and that's what they were hitting us with. But the second half, they were able to kind of manage all that and shut them down quick. Our defense just went off, and especially at the end of the game when it really mattered. I mean, Hassan Reddick came up. He had no, sorry if you can hear this plane behind me. I guess we have like jets going over or something. But hey,
I
hear
a little bit, but wasn't anything. Ah!
Ironic. No, but
I thought anything of it until you mentioned it.
Oh, okay. It must sound just a lot louder to me. But yeah, so just the second half adjustments from our defense was really encouraging. Hassan Reddick had no sacks through, what, three games? And then the last 2 weeks, now he has three. So everything seems to be rolling. Jalen Carter, we mention him every single show because he's just amazing every single game. So it's really nice to see.
Yeah, and was able to continue that dominance. Him and Jordan Davis were able to continue to wreak that havoc inside, even without rotating Fletcher Cox in there as well, which is also really encouraging to see that they were sort of able to hold it down. And I do think one of the most encouraging parts of last week was just seeing the ability to make the adjustment and yes. in the game and see what happened in the second half there. Like you said, the Rams are not a supremely talented football team. Of course, they've got really talented players in areas, but they are not
yes.
this team that you look at and go, okay, this is going to be every week it's a tough matchup, but you know what I mean? You know, you're not looking at them going, they're not the 49ers, right? Like they're not the,
exactly, yes.
the 49ers are playing right now, completely loaded on both sides. They're not the Rams of a couple of years ago. So they were looking like absolute world beaters against the Eagles in the first half. So being able to see the defense go in, make the adjustment, and then shut them out in the second half was super, super, super encouraging. I thought that the offense was extremely encouraging as well. I honestly thought that that opening drive by the Eagles was the best called drive by Brian Johnson all season. I yeah. thought between the 20s, Brian Johnson completely had his best game of the season. But the red zone is still horrific and needs so much help. Well, that one.
Yeah. I have no idea. Maybe, I don't know. Is the president going over? I don't know. But
what is he doing? You never know. Heck knows.
I guess I'm kind of close to Delaware. Who knows? But no, but I completely, completely agree with you. That first drive was like electric. Coming Perfect. Out of the gate there. And then obviously you let them score the following drive. And that's what kind of made you nervous. But the offense, yeah, for the most part, it was, I was texting you after the game and you said textbook. And for the most part, it was textbook. Like it was so nice. And it was what we wanted to see. You saw Hurts get some rushes again and really use his legs, but not overdo it. There were a few parts where like he had to push. Exactly. There were a few where he had to push just to get the extra yard to get the first down, and it was like, but because you never like to see him get hit, obviously. But no, it was really refreshing to finally see that again. Goddard, as you mentioned, that was just amazing that we finally saw him have some kind of game with Jalen Hurts, because it seems like even when they did try to get something going earlier this season, they had no connection and for some reason just weren't clicking. But we finally saw that. You saw balance in the rushing game and the passing game. It was just, it was beautiful until the red zone, like you mentioned. And there was just, we saw Kelsey even getting frustrated with it. Like it's not, it doesn't make any sense why it's just halting right there.
And it doesn't make any sense why it seems like a completely different, like, mindset with the approach to the play calling in the red zone versus yeah. the way that they call plays. Just continue exactly what you're doing. There's no reason why you should be have a completely different philosophy in the red zone than you do the rest of the way down the field. I understand in certain situations you need to approach it with a different mm-hmm. philosophy. Like there's no reason it should look like a completely different offensive scheme and completely different offensive mindset in the red zone versus the rest of the field. Are the planes going over again?
I'm trying, dude.
but you're absolutely right. Like it was, but even like you said, it was a balanced attack the way that they approached it, but it became really unbalanced in the red zone. And it just really bad decisions and decisions that you could see from a mile away. And like, if we're able to see them on our couch from the Philadelphia area, I am sure that the professional football players on the opposing side of the field from the Eagles on the field actually playing them are able to see it as well.
100%. And that's the thing that I'm like, maybe they are like trying to outsmart them and they're like, they're expecting this because we've been doing it all drive long. We're going to switch things up. But it is just so frustrating. That's what I'm saying. It's like
trying. You're outsmarting yourself in that.
We're through five games, and it's been just consistently not making sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have like even just using DeAndre Swift and seeing how dominant he is, and then just being like, "Well, we're going to use Gainwell more in the red zone, huh?" Like, just stuff like that is just It's just so frustrating. And like you said, like, it doesn't make sense. And we definitely need to see the improvement there, because obviously even the offensive line's not agreeing with it. If you see Kelce go off like that during a game, because he's such a leader, you never see him talk right back, but it's obviously getting to them.
And actually, Nick Sirianni was just asked about that in his press conference this afternoon, just about like the emotion on the sidelines. And Nick basically was like, I'm an emotional guy. I consistently am emotional during games. I encourage my team to be that way. And he's like, listen, it's because we all have the same mindset, mentality. Our goal is to win. And we need to get to the root of the problems, of if there's problems going on. So I'm never going to encourage them. He was like, first of all, I am never going to stop being emotional on the sideline. So who am I to try to encourage the rest of the team to not show their emotions on the sideline? He's like, we're not, but it's not an issue, essentially. Like, we figure it out. We talk about it. We have to air those things out to figure out what's going wrong so we can make it better, which I totally agree with. It's just, you know, it's the national media decides to make a big deal out of with AJ Brown and, you know, all the different yeah stuff. But I thought that, you know, I think you have a really good point in that, you know, he is such a leader and he typically is pretty collected, that it was interesting to see it. But, you know, obviously they're all starting to feel that they're struggling in the red zone and it needs to be fixed. Like, you watch the Sunday night game, right, with the Cowboys and the 49ers, and you watch the way that the 49ers were moving the ball. And it's like,
yeah,
do the 49ers scare me? Absolutely not. But if the Eagles can't execute in the red zone, that's going to be a problem. If the Eagles can just execute in the red zone, that's going to be a phenomenal matchup in a couple weeks. It's still going to be a good matchup in a couple weeks to see, but like, the Eagles and the 49ers, I think, are really on the same wavelength here, but the 49ers are able to capitalize on their opportunities in the red zone.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think more so where we, like, this kind of becomes interesting is just because we've heard these guys talk all season so far and be like, we have adjustments that we need to make, and they've kind of been patient. And then we've been talking about how they've been lucky that their schedule has allowed it. But really, you have this Jets game and then your schedule gets hard. So I feel like that's adding a lot of extra pressure as well to this, because they're starting to feel like, okay, guys, we're running out of time. This needs to start clicking. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's also coming into effect, is just the pressure. But 100%.
We talked about it last week. We've talked about it every week. Yeah. It's like, you know, we keep saying, okay, but, you know, new offensive coordinator, da, 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 we see it, say the whole thing, but it's like, how long
you're running out of
starts to be like, okay, this is actually a problem. And like, last week we were like, okay, if they can't figure it out, it's really going to be a problem. And now they're starting exactly to be like, hey, if we can't figure this out, we got a gauntlet of games coming up that are not going to be simple. We got to figure this out.
I agree with you 100%. I will say, you brought up Cowboys 49ers, and that's one of the things, well, basically the only thing that I had for around the league, because it was just so awesome to see them lose, what was it, like 42 to 10. So you love to see it. There is so many planes. Oh my gosh. But
the irony of this as well, with
it's Jesus. Actually, it is comical, because it's the foreshadowing here is just something we could not even script.
No, but not at all. No, I think the planes are trying to encourage us to actually just talk about that matchup instead, because the Eagles are 5-0. There's like one glaring problem. Well, probably two, I guess. And this will be our final thoughts on you know, the Eagles through week five here. My sort of final takeaways at this point are, they're 5-0. Nick Sirianni is the first head coach in Eagles history to start back-to-back seasons 5-0. It is impressive what they're doing. We talked about it last week as well. Now that, you know, the Eagles are proven as one of the best teams in the league, they're getting everybody's best shot. Everybody, they're throwing everything they have at the Philadelphia Eagles week in, week out. We should expect to continue to see that. But they need to figure out a way to score when they're in the red zone. They need to capitalize on those opportunities. They cannot just keep letting things go. And the secondary needs help. They are not well, and they need to figure it out. Obviously, they made the adjustment. They brought Bradley Roby in. They were like, you know, you've been here for 2 days. You're better than whatever's going on right now, I think.
Literally.
And he was. He did a great job when he came in.
He did.
But everybody, like, collectively, that was one of the worst halves of football I've ever seen from the James Bradbury, Darius Slay combination as well. Was not
it
good.
It was. Well, so, and that's one thing before we go into this week. They did open the practice window on Kobe Dean. So
yes,
that'll be nice. You'll probably see a little rotation there with Cunningham and I'm blanking on the names. Morrow. Yes, Morrow. Obviously, the poor guy. How did I just forget him? He's been doing so well. But so that'll probably hopefully help there. But they do need a lot of work on there. My final thoughts, basically the same thing. You're running out of time, so you do have a little bit of pressure coming on, but we couldn't, there were a lot of holes that we would mention before that you had to fix. And obviously you're not just going to snap your finger and see it all work together. So it was refreshing last week, especially in that second half, to kind of see things start to click that we were addressing. And with the getting back like N'Kobe Dean and being able to get Roby and see him perform, they are making little adjustments. I have no fear that Howie will make whatever adjustments that they need to make. But yeah, so it is refreshing, but they are running out of time.
Yeah, they are. And Halloween is the trade deadline. So there are a couple weeks left here still. But you're right. The Eagles are coming into a stretch of games. You know, they have the Jets on Sunday. Then they play the Dolphins at home. They go on the road and play the Commanders. Then the Cowboys come to town. Then they go to Kansas City. Then the Bills come in here at some point. I don't think that's the game right after that, but the Bills are in there. They play
San Fran early December.
So they've got a lot of games upcoming that are going to be tough. They, you know, they won all of the games that they were quote supposed to win here in the early part of the season. Now is when it's going to be, you know, they are still the better team on paper for the majority of these games, but if they can't figure out some of these issues, other teams are going to be able to take advantage of those issues.
And that's what I was going to say about the San Fran Cowboys. You love to see the Cowboys lose like that. But San Fran, no lie, like they are the most worrisome team that we have coming up, obviously. Yeah. Them and the Eagles are the best teams in the NFC right now, by far.
In the NFL, period, by far.
Yes, true. Very true. But that's my thing is, I have no fear until you see me in December and January, because right now both teams have to stay healthy. Both teams are still kind of connecting, especially Philly. They Absolutely. Have such a talented roster and kept their coaches. They're just continuing what they had last year. They didn't have to kind of figure things out like Philly did. So I'm fine with people putting them over the Eagles right now. It's kind of like what we're used to is getting overlooked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, as of right now, like if we had to play them this week, I would be worried about them, but we'll see how we feel come December and January. Cause I feel like it's going to be a lot different of a matchup at that point.
Yeah. And I think AJ Brown is the one who said it last week, you know, nobody wants to be playing their best football in October, right?
Exactly.
That's typically what the Dallas Cowboys do. They play their best football in September, October, and then by the time December, January rolls around, trash. They're starting a little early this year. It's beautiful. Beautiful. So yeah, I mean, nothing's going to be perfect now. They still have some things that need to be adjusted. But as we have said the last couple of weeks, we're running out of time for the ability to be patient on those things.
Yeah.
For like the ability to be like, it's going to come. There's not much time left for it to arrive, you know?
Agreed.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about this upcoming matchup with the New York Jets, the Zach Wilson-led New York Jets, and see how that's going to go. You are listening to The Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back into episode number 109 of Babes on Broad. So as we've been foreshadowing this entire time with these planes flying over me, we have the New York Jets this week, 2-3, Jess mentioned it, led by Zach Wilson. Poor, poor guys for them, man. It's just the fan base really can't catch a break there. Like I mentioned, 2-3, their only two wins were that very first game where they had Aaron Rodgers for what, like a quarter? And
he literally played, I think, three plays. Jeez. He didn't do anything as a New York Jet.
Yeah. So they kind of had just rode with that momentum, got the win over the Bills, luckily for them. And then their only other win was this past week against the Broncos, which doesn't say much.
They barely beat the Broncos. However, yeah. I am a big fan of karma in sports. Big fan of that petty energy. I love it. I really, 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 truly, truly enjoyed how much garbage Sean Payton talked, knowing that it could have gone either direction. Like, Russ could have figured it out, or he could have been equally as bad, if not worse, than he was last year. And he talked so much trash. I understand that Sean Payton has won a Super Bowl, but, like, has he really done enough to be as much of an asshole as he is? Like, right? I don't think he has. I think the only person who has warranted enough of that truly is Bill Belichick. He's the only coach in the NFL, and, like, maybe to an extent, Andy Reid. But Andy would never, right? Like, Andy would never. Might like make a joke and be and like giggle and like whatever, but like Sean Payton won a Super Bowl in 2009, if not earlier.
Yeah, I think it was.
I don't even remember when the Saints won the Super Bowl, but like
we were young.
He just like hasn't done enough to do that. Like I don't know. So I just thought that was like really weird to do when it happened, and it really did, you know, bring me a lot of joy that they were able to beat them the way they did. They were able to have their fun on Twitter. Like, I really did enjoy that for the New York Jets.
Yeah, aside from that, just gonna like, have to
this week, I really enjoyed that.
Well, I mean, it's also because neither of those teams are the threat, obviously. So you're looking at them and you're like, who do I feel worse for? And then when you just have one of the teams being like a cocky for no reason loser, it's like, come on, like you aren't even rootable for. Obviously we're not rooting for the Jets this week. And it's also funny just that we're talking about annoying things, because Aaron Rodgers, like, I actually started to like him after watching Hard Knocks. I was like, this guy's not that bad. Like, we don't agree on maybe some social matters and like political matters here and there and stuff, but this guy's not bad. And then, he goes on Pat McAfee yesterday, and I don't know if he's just trying to start, well, it started a couple weeks ago, I guess, last week when he called Travis Kelce Mr. Pfizer, like, that's a bash at him, you know what I mean? It's like, okay.
Like, you're insulting him. Ooh.
It's not even like he came out, like, in really, like, pro, like, oh my gosh, go get the vaccine. He's just literally did a commercial for him, you know what I mean?
And also, A+ Travis Kelce with the most perfect textbook answer I've ever heard in his presser as well. Like, and that's exactly it. Like, nobody is out here trying to start any of these issues. Like, no one's trying to sit down and have an argument with Aaron Rodgers, because you can't argue with stupidity. Okay. You can't argue with irrationality and stupidity. That's something I've learned a long time ago. That's some good advice for life. Yeah. You can't argue with stupid. That goes for anything. Any topic, it's like arguing with Dallas Cowboys fans, right? Like, you can't argue with stupid, okay? Just don't try. It's a waste of your energy. It'll just make you mad. No point.
Yeah, dude. It was very frustrating because then you said it. Travis Kelce had a perfect response. It should have ended there. It was nothing. And then Aaron's trying to start a whole debate. And it's like, you actually are like, there's something wrong with you, or you're just desperately trying to stay in the media. Like, it doesn't make sense.
He knows what he's doing by having Aaron Rodgers on every week. But also, I really like Pat McAfee. And I'm just like, please stop bringing this moron on to talk about nothing.
I agree, man. Ugh.
I think Pat McAfee just needs to hang out at the WWE and just do that because he's really good at that.
I enjoy the show. I think he's entertaining for the most part. But yeah. But really okay, so getting into the Jets this week, there's not much to talk about because, like we said, they're not the best. Some of the key matchups, I guess you can say, obviously, Quinnen Williams is like their best player. Yep. So our offensive line has to deal with him yet again. They have another defensive guy that they have to kind of put up a front against, but should not be a problem. Hopefully for our offensive line, they've done really well against that all year. So we'll see. And Quinnen Williams, he's been doing good getting pressures, but he only has a half a sack. It's hard to say when it's just literally a half. So he's kind of just been fluctuating a little bit. I hope we don't see him turn it around against us. I don't think we will. Eagles wide receivers, obviously you have to go against the DBs for New York and Sauce Gardner. They're number one. DJ Reed, they've been talking about. He's their second corner over there. Sorry if you can hear my dogs now, they're going crazy. But DJ Reed, their second corner over there. And he's been performing well this year, I guess. Like, he's getting a lot of hype. A lot of people are talking about him. But then you look at it and you're like, he's 5'9", 188 pounds. So you can try, I'm assuming, because there's no way that it will ever even make AJ Brown flinch. So I'm assuming he's gonna be on Devontae, and at 5'9", 188 pounds, I don't even think that'll really affect Devontae. I'm assuming he's really fast, but so we'll see how that goes for them. Sauce, obviously, you have to be not worried, but he's
that's
something
gonna be a fun
to be
matchup.
Exactly. And then Jets run defense is like in the top 20s as like worst top 20s. So that'll be fun. There's a lot of just a lot of areas where these teams don't really match up.
Yeah, I think that the Eagles need to. Zach Wilson has been getting, now he was bad at football last year. He has been he's been improving week by week. So that has been really, good for them to see, obviously, but you don't want it to keep happening against the Eagles. So knowing that he is slowly climbing that ladder a little bit, the Eagles have to, obviously, I don't see this Eagles team as taking any matchup lightly. I don't see them getting complacent against anybody.
Especially not with their play right now.
Absolutely not. Again, against the Denver defense is really, it's not saying much. Breece Hall did have 177 yards on the ground last week, did break off a 72-yard run. So, containing him is going to be important. Obviously, they do have weapons here and there that can hurt you. But this really could be – it could be a good opportunity for the Eagles to right some of the issues that they're having. And it could be their last opportunity for a little bit, more of an inferior opponent to be able to get that adjusted before they get to some of these little bit tougher matchups coming their way.
I agree with you 100%. I think that this defense is good enough that it will be a good practice for them in the red zone. Like, it's not something to write off if we see good red zone play to be like, oh, well, it was just the Jets. Like, they do have key pieces. So I think it will be a test for them there that they can kind of try to get things rolling, as you mentioned. Yeah, and obviously Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, they have things that they can do, but we shall see.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. It's like, obviously you can't overlook any team in the NFL. You're all professional football players. You're going to have good pieces, but
at the end of the day, like, I think if, but again, I think if like the secondary is going to have a bounce back game to really play a complete game. Obviously they bounced back in the second half last week, but if they're going to bounce back from the way they started, like, you know, turning over Zach Wilson isn't a bad way to go.
I agree. And I will mention, what is it? Vera, their lineman got hurt. Forget his name. Vera right. Thomas. What?
Ty Becton's hurt. Was he hurt all year? Or did he just get hurt last week?
No, he just got hurt in week five. So last week. But yeah, so that is something too that might affect Breece Hall's play and might even give our defensive line some more fun time on that line. But yeah, so we'll see. Overall, Jess, what's your keys to success and your final score prediction?
My key to success is going to be probably the same as it is almost every week. It's both sides of the line. If the defensive line can get in there and make Zach Wilson uncomfortable the same way that they were able to do in the second half to Matthew Stafford last week, they're in a much better position. You know, a lot of those throws that Matthew Stafford missed in the second half were because there were large men in his face getting pressure. And if he were able to make any of those throws or make any of those plays, we're talking about a completely different football game. Mm-hmm. And once they were able to start generating pressure, which they were not in the first half, that's when, you know, he started getting really uncomfortable. So, and he's a, you know, how many year, 16, 17 year vet at this point. So if they can get that kind of pressure on Zach Wilson, he will make some mistakes and hopefully the Eagles can capitalize on those mistakes. And then obviously the offensive line is going to be important for this, as you mentioned with Quinnen Williams, especially, but I think the biggest key here is the Eagles just capitalizing on their opportunities on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. It's going to start with both lines, but capitalizing on opportunities is my biggest key for them to be successful this week. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, I love that. Like you said, they always went in the trenches, so that's obviously going to be a big part. Don't play down to this team, which I don't think that they will because they still have a lot to prove and a lot to improve upon before they get into this hectic part of their schedule. My biggest key to success, though, that I will say is I want to see the same play calling that we saw from Brian Johnson last week between the 20s, but we need to see that improvement now in the red zone. And then Sean Desai to come out. I like the adjustments we saw last week, but I want to see it progress to being that strong from the beginning, you know? So I want to see the coordinators as well, just continue to learn and have better success out there from the beginning, because that's ultimately what's going to get this team to their top level notch.
So what is your final score prediction for Sunday?
Oh, man. I think it's going to be – I think it's going to be high scoring, dude. Let's go 28-10.
28-10. All right.
Yeah.
I think similarly, I still think the Eagles – I think the Eagles go up over 30 this week. I don't think – I think they're going to fix some of it. I do. I'm speaking it into existence. So I think it's going to be more of a 33-17 – some garbage touchdown from the Jets at the end. But I think that ish area is probably where they're going to be for the majority.
I like it.
We were not, were we correct last week?
No, we said 28-24. So we were close for the Eagles.
28-24 or 28-14. I couldn't remember which one.
So we were close. For our team, not for the other team. We had not as much faith in our defense, I guess, than we should have had.
Well, if we were predicting after the first half,
you never know. Yeah, we were on target for it.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's been interesting. And it's still, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We still don't know what the NFL is. Like, there are some teams that are really good and some that are a week by week case by there's some that are absolute trash, like just bad football. But like the Bills, what are the Buffalo Bills? No one knows.
Literally.
What are the Buffalo Bills? The Cincinnati Bengals, are they a bad football team? They might be. How did that happen? The New England Patriots, bad football team. Not bad at football.
There was a point there we said, and now they're just bad.
Bad football team. Like the Dolphins, like they started off good, But are they really a good football team? Or are they an October football team?
I was going to say, they have one of those vibes to them where, like, they, like you said, kind of like the Cowboys, where, like, they have that flashiness to them to start, but you're like, something about this just doesn't feel like it can endure the entire season. And that's another thing. Yeah, and that's another thing is you have all these actual good, not all of them, because a lot are mediocre, as we're talking about, but the ones that are good, they have to stay healthy the entire season, which is very hard in the NFL. You know what I mean? So it's the NFL is almost impossible to predict who's going to be there come January. You know what I mean? But yeah, there's just so many teams that you're like,
There are also some bad football games this week.
Oh, really? I didn't even look.
Okay, so the Broncos are going to get absolutely obliterated by the Chiefs on Thursday night.
Oh, okay, yep.
Absolutely destroyed. The Ravens and the Titans play in London. No one's watching that game. The Commanders and the Falcons, bad. Two bad football teams. Bad game. The Vikings and the Bears, bad. Two very bad football teams. The Seahawks and the Bengals, not very good. Average at best. The 49ers are going to absolutely obliterate the Cleveland Browns. The Panthers and the Dolphins, I don't even know which way that one's going to go. I have a weird feeling that that could end up being, like, not great for the Dolphins, because they also are, they're struggling with injury. Or they could blow the doors off. There's no in between. Colts, Jags, both just not great. Anthony Richardson's on IR. I don't even know
what
the
Jags. Yeah, that's a Jags.
The Saints and the Texans. Eh. Oh, God. The Patriots and the Raiders. And even worse, I'm pretty sure that might be America's game of the week because it's Josh McDaniels. And, oh, my God. Bad. So, two very terrible football games.
And just, that's what we were mentioning, too, is, like, it's so just like blah. There's so many just mediocre teams this year that like you quite literally could not have predicted this because these teams obviously got matchups because they were expected to be good, like in the primetime spot. But
like the Sunday night football matchup of the New York football Giants and the Buffalo Bills. Excuse me, I'm going to bed at 8 p.m. on Sunday. I'm going to get a good night of sleep. Okay.
When you started with the Thursday night game with the Chiefs and I don't even remember who they're playing
Broncos.
Anymore.
I'm going to get a good night of sleep tomorrow, too.
Well, no, we're going to have Phillies. So, thank God. No, they're saving us.
Well, it's a first pitch at 6, so I will be going to sleep at, like, 9:30.
Unless the Diamondbacks sweep, then it's going to an 8 o'clock start.
Ah, don't do that to me.
I know.
Like earlier starts.
It's almost too good to be true. I know. I love tonight's start, 5 o'clock.
See, I have to pick up Dave early from daycare to be able to be back in time for that. So I have to end my workday a little bit.
That's selfish Sam speaking that. Everybody else, I'm currently, for those of you that don't know, I'm already on my maternity leave. So for me, it's beautiful because it's just perfect. But yeah, you're right.
5 p.m.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking about maternity leave, we'll see if I'll even be here next week, but.
Right, we've got some plans lined up for while you're out.
Yeah,
you are required to take some time, even from this. I know you're just you're sitting talking about sports as friends, and happen to record it. Great, but you're still required to take some time and just not do this for a little bit. There are both babes on broad. It just won't be this specific babe on broad with me.
Yeah, and hopefully when I return, they will be looking good. Still.
I can only hope. Well, we're going to wrap from there. Thank you so much for listening to episode 109 of Babes on Broad. As always, thank you to SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation for hosting our show. Make sure you're following on all of our socials individually, as well as Bleeding Green Nation. Got stuff coming out constantly. If we don't have Sam next week, we will have another little baby on Broad to add to the group. Yeah. But regardless, if she does show up before then, I really hope she's here to see another Birds win this week. So we will talk to you next week, and go Birds and go Phillies.